Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Let's talk about brand loyalty. I mean, you and I, perhaps in our age demographic, we tend to stick with brands that we've grown up with, tried and tested, because we recognize its quality. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, absolutely. I really, really do. And, you know, when I know I'm looking for something specific, I know exactly what to focus on. But there's a study that's been released recently by RGA Singapore titled The Power of Brand Relationship Design, and it's actually revealed a growing loyalty crisis here in Singapore.
Do you ever get criticized by other people like, oh, why don't you try something different? Why don't you try something new?
No, not really. And I think that's just because it's not really a conversation that I think at my age people really have. But yeah. I can imagine younger people saying, I saw this really good offer. That's why don't you look at this? Try something new.
Yeah. And then you have this whole widespread recognition of digital services. You've got this range of basic psychological and human needs. They tend to, it shows that they're failing to be met, you see.
Yeah. And I reckon that this is different across countries. So this particular survey looked at other Asia-Pacific countries. Singapore emerges top with the highest number of respondents, 43% actually, saying that their number one personal goal is to be happy and they buy products to achieve that goal, and that ranks second globally.
Okay, so like never before, there are new expectations, new dynamics required for people here in Singapore to stay bought into services. So what can brands do to keep the consumers coming back for more? Let's find out from Bradley Ambler, who is Executive Strategy Director for RGA Singapore. Good morning, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Brady, good morning. Thanks a lot for taking the time to speak with us. You guys, RGA, it's an international innovation consultancy that's headquartered in New York and recently released this study titled The Power of Brand Relationship Design. Could you explain a little bit more about the study, the kind of sample size, and what else you achieved from this study?
Sure, yeah. So RGA has been here in Singapore for over 10 years. We have offices across Asia Pacific, as well as around the world. And this study specifically is looking at the post-purchase experience and how brands can build stronger relationships with customers. So it was quite an undertaking. The survey ran for over 3 months. We had about 16,000 respondents across different markets. And we looked at different categories as well. So different categories in Singapore include, you know, e-commerce, personal care and beauty, consumer technology, financial services, et cetera. So it was quite an undertaking in looking at all the different facets that lead to stronger loyalty. And I think, as you highlighted, we did realize there is a loyalty issue here in Singapore that's quite pronounced when you compare it with some of the other markets.
Oh, okay. I'm quite curious, Brady, to understand, what do you mean by loyalty issue? Describe it to us.
Yeah, so the big figure here is that 77% of people in Singapore are not confident that they'd make the same purchase decision again. So what that means is that they're really quick to leave one product or one brand in favor of trying something else. In fact, Singaporeans are 28 times less likely to repurchase compared to the global data that we uncovered. So you could say that Singaporeans are among the least loyal in the world.
Oh, yeah. But why? Is it simply because there's just too many options available, peer pressure?
So there's a couple issues. One is around how we as marketers, you know, tend to approach loyalty. So the idea of a traditional loyalty program where we're simply rewarding people for making a purchase, often with points and sort of promotional offers, rewards, etc., that tends to not work very well, at least not anymore. And there also seems to be an overemphasis on things like the efficiency of delivery, trying to make sure that, you know, we can deliver something in a short time frame, making sure that there's no issues around the product delivery or the product experience. But then it sort of stops there. Brands stop investing in that post-purchase experience. And so that's not enough anymore. And then the second issue is that there's really low switching costs. Very easy for us to try something else, especially with e-commerce. And I think we all realized last year how easy it is to get almost anything you want, you know, delivered to your doorstep. So it's very easy for people to leave, and brands aren't doing enough to get people to stay.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. So you're saying, okay, brands aren't doing enough to get people to stay. I mean, anecdotally, you know, Elliot calls me the storyteller because I always have stories. There's a particular mall here in Singapore. I'm not naming names, but if you want to reclaim points with that mall, you have to go through some arduous process of downloading an app and photographing receipts and going to the customer service desk. And oh my goodness, by the time I've done all of that, I'm like, I don't need that $350 off my parking because there was just too much that I had to put into this. Can you share with us like the worst things that are done and that lose customer loyalty?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, one of the figures is that over half to 55% of people here find that the point, earning the point, is actually a more hassle than the reward are worth. So, you know, it's misleading because if we look at the data here, we see that, you know, almost everyone will tell you it's important, you know, for brands to offer incentives for making a purchase, but it just becomes too much trouble to take advantage of that. And so what we see is that only 15% of people here actually join loyalty programs. So I think that the worst thing that brands are doing is just thinking that offering a reward for making a purchase is going to be enough because it's table stakes, and it clearly isn't enough because people are not becoming loyal.
So, I mean, Brady, what are you saying? Are you saying that it's beyond just offering points or vouchers for sticking with the brand, but you actually have to make a customer feel like he's wanted by the brand? I have to be wooed by these big brands?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, right? I mean, it's people want more than just a seamless delivery of goods. You know, they want a brand experience. And so what I mean by that is if you look at the data, especially coming from this report, you see that people want customer support and assistance. And there's a couple of ways we can think about that. One is that customer support is there when there's a problem, or that customer support can be more proactive, which is the opportunity that we're seeing. So brands actually going out of their way to help people maximize that purchase experience, do things beyond the product. So just to give a couple examples, if you think about what Nike did with Nike Plus, it wasn't just delivering the shoes or the apparel, helping people use those and become a better athlete through the services that they offered, the run clubs, et cetera. Today at Apple is a similar thing. It's not just about helping people fix their machine. It's also about helping them make the most of that machine, sort of encouraging their creativity. So it's things like that where, you know, it's still about the post-purchase experience, but it's helping people get the most out of that. So sort of this idea of proactive care.
Yeah, I love this point you make because I have to say that really stands out for me is customer service. I will go back to a brand that has fantastic customer service, and I will go back to a brand that has in-person customer service.
Yeah,
so I had a recent experience of, you know, again, not mentioning any names, but two online delivery platforms. One of them interacts with you purely through an app, completely disjointed from the human experience. And another one is sort of live chat and you can speak to somebody over the phone. And I find that I feel far more loyal to the one where I can actually engage with a real person. Do you see this come up in your research?
Yes, we do. We see that people want the convenience of digital, but they still want to be able to talk to a person, especially when there is a problem or there is an issue. You want it to be resolved. You want to explain your situation. It's obviously difficult to do that through a chatbot. So we see that people want both. So the expectations from people are higher than ever. It's very difficult for us to satisfy all their expectations. But we have to continue to push on both fronts, both the digital front, but not forget, you know, the true art of customer service, which is about people and is about relationships.
Brady, I got a tricky one for you, if you don't mind. I want to talk about people's understanding of environment and sustainability. I mean, whilst it's an important issue, we can't deny that it's just trendy for some people. Do you think customers take that into consideration, how environmentally sustainable it is? And do customers even understand enough of sustainability to be able to make that decision when it comes to brands?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that we saw as well, which is that it's becoming increasingly important to them, of course, as it should be. But you also highlighted that the issue here is that it's not enough to simply put a label on something and say that this is environmentally friendly. We have to help people understand, especially when we're talking about the post-purchase experience, how to use that product, you know, in a more sustainable way. Helping people understand the different dimensions of that, because you're right, it can feel sort of airy and out of touch for the average person. So I think we all recognize it's an issue. How do we play a role in that? How do we make it easy for people to do something about it? That's one of the opportunities that we see from the report as well.
So we know that there's been this explosion in e-commerce, but what it also means is there's an explosion in the number of vendors who can reach us through these platforms, right? And so one of the things you look out for is, how do I know that this product is legit? Mm. How do I look out for labeling? In terms of labeling and signaling signposts, how important will it be for brands to think about how they, you know, tell their story, but also reassure customers over their legitimacy or the reliability of their products?
Yeah, I mean, I think the third-party platforms have a big role to play there. You think about Lazada or Shopee or Amazon and the like. It's making sure that the community validation is there, so the ratings, the reviews, you can validate sellers, but also that those platforms are doing their job to verify, who is coming to that platform and who's allowed to engage there. So there's a role for the brands and the products. There's a role for the third-party platforms, and there's also a role for the customers to sort of rely on each other and do a sort of collective wisdom, make sure that we're all able to trust in what we see.
Do celebrity endorsements or influencers work in building loyalty? And what I mean is, you know, with celebrity endorsements, you get the same celebrity sticking with the brand for many years, and that goes a long way. But with influencers and micro-influencers, it's just so cluttered. So which one do I follow, and why do I even need an allegiance to begin with? Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, both obviously are widely used tactics, and using a big name celebrity can help draw attention and some sort of borrowed appeal from that celebrity. But as soon as that contract runs up, they move on to the next brand. And so I think people are onto that. They can see through that. It's still effective to a certain extent. Micro-influencers have really taken off over the last, I'd say 5 to 10 years, because there is a higher level of trust. Mm. Although the data that we see, people are onto that as well. And so we know when somebody's trying to sell a product to us through an Instagram story, that they've been paid, it's an endorsement. So people are wise to the change in medium, but I think that there is a bit of a distrust that's growing with even micro-influencers.
Okay. I'm glad we're talking about influence, Brady, because Money FM has been voted Singapore's most influential radio station. So my test question for you is this: how can Money FM build loyalty?
Well, first of all, congratulations. I think you guys would be facing these similar challenges. How can you go beyond the delivery of great radio programming? What else can we do to really build a relationship with our listeners? And so, again, some of the opportunities that we see, one is proactive care. Another is an area called edutainment. That's sort of a jargon, but, the combination of education and entertainment, which is certainly what you guys do for a living, right? And so how do we kind of use that idea to meet the needs of people, help people get smarter and sort of play into that growth mindset that we see? A big statistic as well is 88% want interactive experiences to learn, right? So how do we create sort of that clubhouse effect where it feels like a social community where people are participating and you're learning at the same time? I would think Money FM has a huge opportunity in that space to kind of build on what you guys have already done and take it to the next level.
This free consultancy brought to you by RGA Singapore.
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Gosh, we are going to get in trouble too. No, not really. It's all learning points, really, when it comes to building brand loyalty. This is the times that we're in. And I think this conversation really has highlighted a lot of things for marketeers to look into. We've been speaking with Brady Amler, who is Executive Strategy Director for RGA Singapore. Appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.